Well, dads, my challenge today is to somehow take the destructive power that we know is a reality in our world and change it for a positive power.
Good day, everyone. Thanks for joining us for this edition of The Tide. I'm your host, Dave Dino. In just a few minutes, Pastor Dwayne Pottinger will conclude his series, Father Power. Now, if you were with us last week, you may remember that we talked about the negative impact that a father can have on his children. Today, we'll discover how fathers can use their substantial influence for good. We'll get started shortly. First, though, let's join Dwayne for a few opening thoughts. Dwayne, I asked this question last week, but in light of today's message, I'd like to ask it again. There are millions of fathers out there who didn't have fathers in the home when they were raised. Now, under these circumstances, if a man has never seen what a good father looks like in real life, what sort of additional obstacles will he face in addition to the ones every other father faces?
I'm not sure that he'll face additional obstacles. I mean, there may be some. I think some that come to my mind right away would be that he may face the challenges of wrestling with his own attitudes and anger. He may feel a hole in his own life, and out of that he may have poor communication techniques. He may apply inappropriate discipline. That may be because he didn't have a model or because there's anger behind that. There may be a failure to genuinely show love because it wasn't shown to him. He doesn't know how to show that. I think one thing that often shows up in those kinds of situations is that because there wasn't spiritual leadership modeled, he doesn't know how to do it. And so he doesn't know how to be a spiritual mentor or role model, which biblically we are called to be and to do.
You know, it doesn't matter who you are or what happened in your past. You can be a good father. In fact, you're about to learn 6 steps to being a better dad. These are steps that anyone can follow and from which anyone can benefit. So let's join Dwayne now for the conclusion of his message, Father Power.
What are some of the results of a negative father figure or power in our lives? Let me suggest some of the things that we may be feeling. How about that we don't ever feel like we're accepted? We have a negative self-esteem. We don't feel valued. When we encounter people, our tendency is to put our head down. We are embarrassed easily. We don't like to be in front of people. We never developed a healthy sense of self-esteem. How about always trying to please others? For some reason, because we couldn't seem to please our dad, we try to please everybody else. Notice that it's very interesting that if we don't somehow get the approval of our dad, we will transfer the hat of the father onto our supervisor. We'll want to get his approval, onto our boss, onto our manager. We'll want to get his father approval. We continue to transfer that until somehow somebody tries to give us, but it will never satisfy us if it doesn't come from our dad. We never feel at peace. There is an inner restlessness. People moving from job to job and place to place, restless inside. They were never affirmed. There was never a stability developed in their life. They strive for excellence and perfection because they need that affirmation. Perhaps for some there is bitterness and anger. Anger at dad, anger at men, anger at authority figures. It comes into anger at police officers, anger at governmental officials, anger at pastors and teachers. It's a carried anger out of some wound that happened through childhood and teen years that then is transferred onto other people that you encounter throughout life. Or perhaps rebellion and resentment against authority. I found it interesting as I was reading, there was a man, he was asked how he determined who he hired. And he said when he hires people, he always asks questions about his relationship between him and his dad. He said, if I don't find out that there was a good relationship between him and his dad, I never hire him. Because if there was trouble there, guess what? He said, I'll have trouble here. He understood. In essence, he said, if they have a good relationship with their dad, I'll hire them because they'll have a good relationship with me. Interesting thoughts. Well, dads, my challenge today is to somehow take the destructive power that we know is a reality in our world and change it for a positive power. Some years ago, executives of a greeting card company decided to do something special for Mother's Day. They set up a table in a federal prison, inviting any inmate who wanted to, free of charge, to come and get a free Mother's Day card, whom they would send for them free. And I'm telling you, the inmates lined up to get these free cards. So many inmates came to get Mother's Day cards that they ran out and had to go back to the company to get more so that everybody could get at least one. They were impressed by what happened, and they thought, well, since it was such a meaningful experience for these inmates, let's do it for Father's Day. And so this time they showed up with extra boxes of cards and envelopes, and they made the announcement and invited them to come so they could get a card for Father's Day. Not a single inmate came to get a card for their father. Notice this. Bill Glass, an evangelist and counselor, met with men who were incarcerated in prisons for 25 years. He literally, over that period of time, met thousands of men in jail. Among the thousands of men that he met, not a single one of them had a love for his dad. 95% of those on death row said they hated their dad. Interesting observations. In 1998, there were 1,202,107 people in federal states or state prisons. Of that number, 94% of them were males. Of the 3,452 waiting on death row for execution, only 48 of them were women. 98.6 of them were males. What I'm sharing those statistics with you for is to help you understand in society, in the generations, there has been some disconnect between dads and their sons. And I'm calling us to recognize that breakdown. It was never intended by God. It is something that Satan has done, and we've got to stop it. We have got to change the cycle. I'd like to share with you some positive things about a father. But dads, I want to remind you again the importance of being a father. You are critically important in each one of your family's life, especially your children. In Psalm 78, verses 5 and 6, it says this: He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Notice the concern for generational transition or transfer of truth. He didn't just say, I want you to know. He said, I want you to know so you will tell your children, who will tell their children, who will then tell your great-grandchildren. A father can choose to leave an incredible spiritual heritage and legacy that builds a solid foundation, that sends out God's truth, or he can leave a negative. My challenge for you today is to leave a positive. Jonathan Edwards is an example of a positive illustration. Jonathan Edwards, you may have heard that name, a great and powerful preacher. But in the four generations that came after him, 300 of his children were clergymen. I mean in the offspring, in the lineage that was to come. He didn't have 300 children, you understand that. There were 300 clergymen, missionaries, and theological professors. 120 college professors, 110 lawyers, 30 judges, 60 authors of books, 14 university presidents, 3 United States congressmen, and 1 vice president of the United States of America. You have the opportunity to make a difference. Not only in your life, not only in your home and in your children, but in the generations to come. Men! You have the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of people for years to come. Praise God. Father power, as I said, can be negative or positive. There is There's a man in our service here this morning who during his early years did not have that strong Christian family around him. As a young man, he made a decision to follow Christ, and even when there was nobody going to church from his family, he sought out and pursued getting a ride. He got involved in the ministries there to keep himself active, busy, and focused. And although he was a hero, a high school football hero as a running back, and he was often invited to parties and to get involved in sin, he chose to take a stand for God. He was teased and ridiculed, but he continued to stand for God. As he's lived his life, he has continued to model and set an example. It has been passed down to me because that man is my dad. I'd like you to give a warm welcome as my dad comes to the platform. I called my dad several days ago and I said, "Dad, I want to do something." And when I shared the idea with him, he thought, "What? I don't want to do that." He said, "You mean I don't have to say anything?" I said, "Nope, all you have to do is sit there and smile." "Dad, I want to thank you today on this Father's Day for what you have passed on to me. And because of what you have passed on to me, you have allowed me to become the man that I am today. This is not a conclusive list, but there are 10 things that I want to share with you specifically. And I want to share that with you publicly. I want to honor you and respect you and thank you for what you've done. Dad, I want to thank you, first of all, for your commitment to God. For finding a way to get to church when you were a young man when nobody else did. For taking a stand in high school. For making a decision at that age you were going to follow God no matter what anybody else did. Thank you, Daddy, for doing that. Secondly, I want to thank you for your desire to obey God. You said it wasn't easy as a teenager. It's not easy today for teenagers, but you had a desire to obey God. That desire led you to sell a farm, and when you bought a new house, you filled it with new furniture, you had a brand new vehicle and a brand new job. But because of your desire to obey God, you were willing to sell the house, sell the furniture, sell the car, and take your family to Africa on the mission field. Daddy, thank you for your desire to obey God no matter what the cost. Number three, Daddy, I want to thank you for your hatred for sin. That you didn't want it in your life and you didn't want it in our lives and in our home. I remember very distinctly when I was a teenager, I came home. I don't remember if it was coming. It must have been coming home from school. I got off the bus and I came in. I might have even got it out of the mailbox. I don't remember. But in that particular mail that day, there was a Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. Because you like sports and you got the sports magazine. But it was the first time it had come out. As a young man, I thought to myself, sometime when nobody's around, I'm going to get that and look at it. And there wasn't any noise in the house, and I started looking through the house to see where that magazine was. And I looked out in the garage, and there you and Mom were standing over the trash can, tearing that Sports Illustrated magazine, that swimsuit edition. You were tearing it up in pieces so that it wouldn't affect you, but also so that it wouldn't affect your sons. Daddy, thank you for your hatred for sin. But it goes further than that. You have a hatred for spiritual apathy. You don't want to let yourself grow cold. Even in recent conversations you have shared, you don't understand how people can drift along spiritually. Daddy, I appreciate that. That has set an example for me. The fourth thing I want to share with you, Dad, is that I thank you for your strong work ethic. Every time you've gotten a job or you've gotten involved, whether it's volunteer or being paid, you've worked hard. You've never withheld yourself. You've given yourself full-hearted. You have modeled for me a strong work ethic. And in our day in which we live, that speaks greatly. Thank you for demonstrating that for me. A fifth thing I want to thank you for, Dad, is a servant's heart. But Dad, everywhere you go, you have modeled servanthood. Anytime you've seen a need, you've gotten involved. You've never cared about yourself. Sometimes, quite honestly, Dad, it was to the expense of your family. But you had a servant's heart. You wanted to serve other people. Number six, Dad, you have had a spiritual fervor and passion. You're not content to go through the motions. You want to earnestly seek and please God with all your heart. You not only want to have started well, you want to finish well. Thank you for modeling that for me. Number seven, Dad, I want to thank you for modeling a humble spirit. You have never wanted to be recognized, affirmed, or applauded. Dad, I want to thank you for having a humble spirit. You've modeled that for me. Dad, I want to thank you for your desire, number eight, to make a difference in people's lives. You haven't been content simply to go through life and just get what you can get, but you've wanted to make a difference as you go. Thank you for doing that. You've not been a consumer or a taker. You've been a giver. And the next one goes right along with that. Number nine, Dad, I want to thank you for having a heart for people. You love people. You don't have to be around you very long to see it. You stand and talk to people forever. Sometimes mom is saying, come on, let's go. And you just love people. Sometimes in the midst of your workday has gone long because you've stayed at people's homes and you've talked with those people because you have a heart for people. And number 10, I want to thank you for modeling a commitment and godliness in marriage. In the world in which we live, where marriage commitment has become so weak and feeble, you have modeled a commitment. There was never any question in my mind, Dad, that you would ever consider the D word. Even in times where there might have been difficulties, and I would hear Mom and you talking rather passionately, I never questioned whether you would ever leave, Mother. Dad, thank you. Thank you for the solid stability and the firmness in the home that has allowed me to become the man that I am. Church, I want you to understand that I am the man that I am, obviously by the grace of God and by people who have invested in my life, but the person who matters to me most is my dad. Dad, I want you to know that you're my hero. I want to thank you for modeling these things in my life, for living them out for me so that I could follow in your footsteps. And someday, Daddy, when you walk through those golden gates, I want to be right on your heels. And I want to celebrate, and I want to hear those words from the Father that says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Thank you, Daddy. I love you.
Son. Yeah. Love you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
I want to finish this morning by sharing some steps of being a better dad. Number one, be a spiritual shepherd. Be a spiritual shepherd. Austin Sorensen said, a child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds God in his father. What a powerful statement. Dads, be a spiritual shepherd. Number two, be a servant leader. A servant leader. Not demanding, not controlling. Lead by your servanthood example. Model what it means to lay down your life for your spouse and for your children. Be a servant leader. Number three, dads, fathers, be a transparent communicator. Man, I know that is against who we are. We don't talk very much. I guess it's how God made us. But if we want to break this cycle, if we want to speak into the lives of our children, into the lives of our spouses, into the lives of others, we have to somehow take off the mask and get real with other people. Don't simply talk about the ball games and hunting and fishing and weather. Talk about how your feelings are deep inside. Talk about your struggles growing up through childhood. Talk about how you came to know Christ and what it means to follow Christ. Pass the passion on to your children. Talk about the deep things of life. Be a transparent communicator. Number four, Be a builder, encourager. Look for the positive things your children do. They already know the negative things. They know when they mess up and when they blow it. Don't continue to beat them down for the things they already know that they did wrong. Be a builder, encourager. Look for everything you can possibly bless and bless their socks off because they desperately need it. Number 5, be a trainer coach. Dads, moms, how can they learn how to play the game of life well unless we teach them how to play? They aren't born with the rules in their minds. They don't know how to do it. They are only learning it from you. Be a trainer coach. The coaches that do really well, teach them how to dribble the ball or how to kick or, you know, which way, how to hold the bat, how to catch the ball. Keep your eye on it. The trainer will teach them how to do it. The coach will both encourage and challenge as well as celebrate the victories. And number 5, dads, men, be a provider, protector. Provide for your homes and your children the best you can. But in the midst of that, don't forget that you are the primary protector. Spiritually, protect your home. Physically, protect your home. Emotionally, protect your home.
A wise man once said, "It is much easier to become a father than to be one." Well, it's true. The price of being a father is high. So are the rewards. Now for some final thoughts on fatherhood, let's join Dwayne and our director, Don Schenk, in the studio. Fellas?
Dwayne, on our broadcast last week, you gave a quote by Paul Anderson, which says, "I have yet to encounter a young person in trouble whose difficulty could not be traced to the lack of a strong father image in the home." Now, that's a pretty strong statement there, and it really puts a lot of responsibilities on our shoulders as fathers.
It does, Don, and I think I have to agree with Paul. We probably, as men, can hear words or see looks or even actions of our fathers, even now that we're grown men. And we may leave our fathers, but our fathers never leave us. Their voices will keep ringing in our ears, repeating the things we heard him say when we were growing up, even when we were little, and perhaps as long as when we were teenagers, maybe even as adults. Some of those things are still said to us. It does remind us of the importance of the role we play as dads, that when we speak, our tongues are like building, a building crew or a wrecking crew. We can build up or we can tear down and be destructive. It's so important.
And as you mentioned there, Dwayne, that, you know, our fathers never really leave us. You know, there are things that get passed on from one generation to the next. And that's why I think it's so important for us, if someone has had a negative experience, to try to crawl out of that. So it's not something that I pass on to my children and they pass on to theirs. You know, we can be the turning point there.
And we can, Don, and it's going to take some work. It's going to take some determination, a decision, and it's going to take seeking God's help, perhaps even getting into an accountability with somebody that will keep us keep our feet to the fire, so to speak, to make sure we're doing what we want to do.
You know, personally, I feel I've had a wonderful father who really encouraged me and helped me to have a very positive view of God as a father image. And I feel blessed with the father who I've had, and I know you feel blessed in your father.
That's right.
And I have to guard against the enemy coming in and destroying that blessing, because I want to pass that blessing on to my son, that he can pass it on.
You know, Don, that brings up a good point. We can't assume that because we had a good dad that we're going to be one.
Right.
We have to work at it. It doesn't happen automatically.
Dwayne, I would like to remind our listeners of a special offer that we have right now. You know, as we've been talking about the impact that our fathers have had on us and how we as fathers can affect our children, we need to remember that there are spiritual consequences to every parent-child relationship. You know, in his book, The Father I Never Knew, Phil Davis gives a very healthy biblical understanding of what it means to be God's child. this book is especially helpful in overcoming the consequences of perhaps a poor parent-child relationship and in learning how to be a better father. Now, we have a limited number of these books left to give away. Just contact us at the close of the program and ask us to send you a copy of The Father I Never Knew. Before Dave comes to give you the information on how to contact us, I'd also like to just bring you an update on what's happening in Nigeria. As you know, we are broadcasting our program there in Nigeria. It's a country that is becoming a hotspot because in the northern part of Nigeria, there is a very strong Muslim or Islamic influence. And in the southern part, there is more Christian influence. But there's an increasing buildup in conflict there. But our program is going out. We are finding that people are being encouraged. And I'd just like to share from a couple of letters that we've come in. We get numerous letters from our listeners in Nigeria. One, this one here is just especially rewarding to read, where the writer says, "I'm very happy to write you this letter about God's favor upon my life. God has touched my life. I'm now a child of God, a born-again Christian."
Oh, that's great.
And here's another one, Dwayne, where a young man has responded to one of your messages you preached. He says, "The title, Renewing Your Relationship, has helped me a lot. This I must confess, when I consider my relationship with God for the past years, my relationship with God at the moment, I have to cry because I am not so close to my Savior as I used to be. My prayer request is that you should help me pray and ask God to forgive me and renew my relationship once again. I have decided to build my relationship with God, and I would like to listen to this topic, renewing your relationship once again." And so privileged to have so many partners in this ministry who come together to support that ministry. And I just want to remind you again that that ministry in Nigeria only happens because of your gifts that you send in.
Well, as you can see, my listening friend, folks like you are having a profound impact on the people of Nigeria. That's part of the reason why we are so fond of saying that radio is the greatest missionary the world has never seen. To help us maintain our steady presence in Nigeria, I invite you to call us today to pledge your prayers or financial. Call us toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. Now again, that's 1-877-859-5484. As always, a copy of this program titled Father Power is available for a gift of any size. To receive your copy on CD or cassette, just call program number 0426. Call us toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. Or send your request to us at The Tide at P.O. Box 99, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. Make sure you tell us whether you'd like a CD or a cassette. In Canada, write to us at P.O. Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L4E1A6. For information about The Tide or to hear an encore presentation of today's lesson, be sure to visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. Well now, we're only a week away from the celebration of America's independence. This week on The Tide, we'll be reminded that freedom, whether it's national, personal, or spiritual, never comes without a price. Until next time, I'm Dave Dino, thanking you for The Tide, a ministry touching hearts on shores worldwide.